This is a timeline of the race riots in USA in 1919. It is not a breakdown of all of the events in 1919 in America. We'll come back to that. That timeline of events, the race riots, it became known as the Red Summer. So let's just go through those events. February to May. On the 8th of February, Georgia, Blakely. 14th of March, Tennessee, Memphis. The 10th of April, West Virginia, Morgan County. The 13th of April, Georgia, Jenkins County. 10th of May, South Carolina, Charleston. And then back in Georgia on the 10th of May in Sylvester. 29th of May, Connecticut, New London. And then back in Georgia on the 29th of May in Putnam County. The riots were to continue. And so was the loss of life, lynching, etc. We'll be more descriptive about that when we look at individual events. But in June 19, there was the 13th of June, Tennessee, in Memphis. On the 27th of June, Tennessee, in Annapolis. And then on the 27th of June again, Mississippi, Macon. Then in July, it was a tragically busy month. The 5th, Pennsylvania, Scranton. On the 6th, back again in Georgia, Dublin. The 7th, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. The 8th, Pennsylvania, Coatesville. On the 9th, Alabama, Tuscaloosa. The 10th, Texas, Longview, a town inhabited by black people that was destroyed and the mayor burnt. The 11th of July, Maryland, Baltimore. The 15th, back in Texas, Port Arthur. And on the 19th, in the capital, Washington, D.C. Still in July, the 23rd, Louisiana, New Orleans. The 23rd again, Pennsylvania, Derby. 26th, back in Alabama, Hobson City. On the 27th, 8 days, an armed resistance by black people, Illinois, Chicago. The 28th, South Carolina, Newbury. The 31st, Illinois, Bloomington, New York, Syracuse, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia again. August to October, when our list of the events ends. 6th of August, back in Texas for Texarkana. 21st of August, New York. Once again, armed resistance. 28th of August, Nebraska, Omaha. The 15th of September, South Carolina, Ellerton. And on the 1st of October, Arkansas, Elaine, and Maryland, Baltimore. If you look at the headlines for that time period, the Morning World Herald, mob in Omaha lynches Negro, attempts to hang Mayor Smith. Chicago, 3 dead, 50 hurt in race riots on Chicago bathing beach. The Rock Island Argus in West Illinois. Omaha has wild night under mob. Negro burned, mayor hanged. The New Orleans states, John Hartfield will be lynched by Ellsville mob at 5 o'clock this afternoon. 3,000 mob will burn Negro. That's in advance of the event. Lynched by Florida mob, Negro's body riddled with bullets found on tree by passers-by, Lake City, November the 29th. Now, the American policy in 1919 hardly was likely to encourage an end to these events. President Wilson saw Bolshevism as a mistake that had to be resisted and corrected. He had two main priorities in 1919. One, to create what we now call the United Nations, and two, to end the Russian Civil War. He believed the revolution in Russia was worse than anything represented by the Kaiser, and that the Bolsheviks were, quote, a group of men more cruel than the Tsar himself. A communist regime meant, according to Wilson, government by terror, government by force, not government by vote. Furthermore, it ruled by the poison of disorder, the poison of result, the poison of revolt, the poison of chaos. It was, the president believed, the negation of everything that is American and had to be opposed. Let's step back to one of those remarks. The Bolsheviks were a group of men more cruel than the Tsar himself. That's some admission. In case of who you're supporting. The Secretary of State, Bainbridge Colby, wrote that the US policy was based on the premise that the present rulers of Russia do not rule by the will or the consent of any considerable portion of the Russian people. The Bolsheviks had forcibly seized power and were using, quote, the machinery of government with savage oppression to maintain themselves in power. Moreover, the, quote, existing regime in Russia is based upon the negation of every principle of honour and good faith and every usage and convention underlying the whole structure of international law. It was therefore not possible for the government of the United States to recognise the present rulers of Russia. And the Americans were involved in the Russian Civil War. The North Russia Expeditionary Force, also known as the Polar Bear Expedition, sent approximately 8,000 personnel from the US Army, including the 310th Engineers, the 339th Infantry, the 337th Field Hospital, and its ambulance company, also the 167th and 168th Railroad Companies, which were sent to Murmansk to operate the Murmansk to Petrograd line. The US Navy sent the cruiser USS Olympia during August and September, including 53 personnel who were attached to British units. Now, Woodrow Wilson, the president, said much about black people during the time. It is important to know where he comes from. He was a Southern president. His family historically were involved in the Civil War on the Confederate side. During his first term in office, he passed a law, that was in 1912, the law was passed making racial intermarriage a felony in the District of Columbia, Washington. His new Postmaster General also ordered that his Washington offices be segregated, with the Treasury and Navy soon doing the same. Suddenly, photographs were required for all applicants for federal jobs. And when pressed by black leaders, Wilson replied, the purpose of these measures was to reduce the friction. It is as far as possible from being a movement against the Negroes. I sincerely believe it to be in their interests. Now, the main organ of control in many people's view was the FBI and the press. During the Chicago riots, the press learned from the Department of Justice officials that the international workers and Bolsheviks were, quote, spreading propaganda to breed race hatred. The FBI reported that leftist views were winning converts in the black community, and that the NAACP was urging colored people to insist upon equality with white people and to resort to force if necessary. J. Edgar Hoover, who was a lower grade officer at that time in the FBI, analyzed the riots for the Attorney General. He blamed the July Washington, D.C. riots on numerous assaults committed by Negroes upon white women. We, of course, heard this before. For the October event in Arkansas, he blamed certain local agitation in a Negro lodge. A more general cause he cited was propaganda of a radical nature. He charged that socialists were feeding propaganda to black-owned magazines such as The Messenger, which in turn aroused their black leaders. On November 17th, the Attorney General A. Mitchell Palmer reported to Congress on the threat that anarchists and Bolsheviks posed to the government, identifying radicalism in the black community and the open defiance black leaders advocated in response to racial violence in the summer's rioting. It faulted the leadership of the black community for an ill-governed reaction towards race rioting. In all discussions of the recent race riots against blacks, there is reflected the note of pride that the Negro has found himself, that he has fought back, that never again will he tamely submit to violence and intimidation. It described the dangerous spirit of defiance and vengeance at work amongst Negro leaders. Now, President Woodrow Wilson was born in Staunton, Virginia, and he spent his early years in Augusta, Georgia, Columbia, and South Carolina. So all across the United States in 1919, there was a reign of terror against black people that resulted in thousands of injured and dead people. And as we move forward, we will tell the individual stories of many of those cities and towns and the nature of the riots. This was the home of another nation that saw the threat of Bolshevism and communism as its major threat going forward. However, in America, the president saw blacks as being likely breeding grounds of the evil of revolution. Rather than simply riots, victims of the white mob. This is Jamie Baker, HDA Cardiff. Please listen to the following poem.
If We Must Die is the poem that makes me a poet among colored Americans. If we must die, let it not be like hogs, hunted and penned in an inglorious pot, while round us bark the mad and hungry dogs, making their mock at our accursed lot. If we must die, oh, let us nobly die, so that our precious blood may not be shed in vain. Then even the monsters we defy shall be constrained to honor us, though dead. O kinsmen, we must meet the common foe. Though far outnumbered, let us show us brave, and for their thousand blows deal one death blow. What though before us lies the open grave? Like men, we'll face the murderers, cowardly pack, pressed to the wall, dying but